Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Urbis Partners. I'm your host, Simon Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nichol.
And today we're talking about, should I wait for interest rates to drop? And I think I've been hearing this a lot recently. People ask me, well, interest rates are really high at the moment. Should I wait for interest rates to come down before I think about buying an investment property? Now, it could be your first, it could be your second, it could be your next one. And so I thought, well, I could probably dig into the numbers around this. And I think the biggest thing is that it impacts cash flow, right? So when interest rates are high, your mortgage repayments are higher, and therefore your cash flow is going to be worse off. But Andrew, what happens if interest rates drop?
Well, generally speaking, because it becomes more affordable for people to buy a house, then house prices increase.
And then when house prices increase, what's the impact on cash flow?
Well, your cash flow is going to go up as well because, of course, you're borrowing more money to buy a property.
So your cash flow goes up or down?
Well, it depends. Depends how much the interest rate's gone down and how much the house has gone up.
And that's exactly what we want to jump into. And I think that's the thing that people sometimes forget about is if interest rates come down, house prices go up, you've got to take out a bigger mortgage. So what's the balance between these two things? How much do house prices have to go up by to counteract an interest rate fall? So let's say that interest rates go down from 7 to 6%. Well, that's going to improve your cash flow, lowers your expenses. But then if interest rates drop and house prices go up, you need a bigger mortgage in order to purchase that property. That's going to wipe out some of those cash flow benefits. So let's dig into the numbers. Let's say that interest rates drop by 1%. They go from 7 to 6%. How much would house prices have to go up to fully wipe out that cash flow benefit of interest rates dropping? So I ran the numbers on a $580,000 property, let's call it a 4.5% gross yield. And the answer is that if the interest rate drops by 1%, 7 to 6%, house prices would have to go up by about 17% to fully counteract that cash flow benefit. So in this case, the house price would have to go up by about $95,000 for the interest rate decrease to be cash flow neutral.
It's quite a big increase.
Yeah, it is. And I like thinking this way because then you get to say, well, in a world where interest rates fall by 1%, do I think that's likely to happen? Do I think that house prices will go up by 17%? Do I think that they'll go up by more than 17%? Do I think that they will go up by less than 17%? Now, my belief is that house prices will go up by far less than 17%. If interest rates fall from 7 to 6%, your house price might only go up by 5 or 6% within a year or so. What's your view on that, Andrew?
I agree with you, but are we keeping the rent the same on that number?
Yeah, keeping the rent the same.
Why are we not increasing the rent?
Because we're just looking at two factors, okay. Otherwise it gets a bit difficult.
Okay, so, but yeah, I absolutely think that, you know, if we think about over the next year, if we said that rent was the same, but your interest rate will highly likely drop by 1% over the next 12 months. Will prices increase by 17%? Highly improbable that that would happen.
And so you would expect that if you do wait to buy an investment property, the cash flow on that property will likely improve. So house prices will go up, but not by enough to counteract that cash flow benefit. But Andrew, this is a podcast about property investing. So a lot of people might hear that and say, well, are you guys saying that I should just not buy a property now and that I should just wait? That doesn't sound like what you'd usually say.
So I think a lot of people focus on the interest rate at the time that they buy. I mean, we all do it because when we go to buy a property, we've got all these different options. We can decide when we're going to buy and we use the actual market conditions at that time to assess if it's a good investment or not. But we don't fully appreciate that if you hold your property for the next 20 years, your interest rate could change 20 times. You might fix every year for the next 20 years and sometimes it's going to go up. Sometimes it's going to go down and sometimes it's just going to stay the same. So if you think about it, you know, whether or not you buy now or you wait for a year, you are going to get the benefit of the interest rates going down. In both of those scenarios, you get that benefit.
Depending on how long you fix the interest rate for.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. If you fix for 5 years, you're not going to get a benefit next year of the interest rates going down. But where it differs, if you want to avoid the current pain of high interest rates, then buying now doesn't do that, but waiting does. On the flip side, if you want to get the benefit of house prices going up, well, if you buy now, you get that benefit. As interest rates go down, your house prices go up. Whereas if you wait, you don't get that over the next 12 months.
Yeah, I think where people really go wrong is they're really thinking about getting the benefit of interest rates going down, not realizing that that is the same between the two scenarios. What you really need to weigh up are those other two factors. Am I willing to take the hit of interest rates today in order to get more capital growth? Or am I willing to wait for interest rates to come down, avoid the very high interest rates, but then not getting that same benefit of the same amount of capital growth? And so that's the trade-off that you've really got to think about. So how do you weigh up whether it's the right time to invest or not? Because I think that's the question that I get asked all of the time. And we should say that there are definitely some people who should not buy right now. So there are some investors out there doing it really tough with those higher interest rates. If that's you, if your personal cash flow is really suffering right now, then it is, quite frankly, not the right time for you to buy an investment property. You do need to wait for interest rates to drop.
And hopefully, of course, the house prices have gone up, but not so much that completely counteracts that cash flow benefit, right?
Well, yeah, we'd expect that because we just ran the numbers and said that that'd be the case.
Well, it depends how long you wait though, right?
And if you're struggling with topping up your investment properties, then right now is, again, definitely not the right time for you to be investing in property. So I've got a friend at the moment who is struggling to top up the investment property. They're thinking about selling it, even though they only purchased it about 2 years ago. And so for them, it would definitely not be the right time to buy an investment property because they cannot handle the current cash flow of the properties they already own. But if, on the other hand, you can afford the cash flow and you need more properties to complete your wealth plan so that you can move towards your retirement goals, then investing in property at this time of the market could be the right fit. Now, Andrew, assuming you can afford the cash flow, how do you figure this all out?
So I guess you need to weigh up the short-term cash flow that you're going to spend versus the potential that house prices go up. So very few properties today are going to get enough rent to cover all of their costs. It's just very unlikely. Is it like 5% or maybe less than that?
It's 7% according to Valocity, and that was in June last year.
Yeah. So you've got to top up your rent to cover all those costs. Now, cash flow for every investor is different. It changes based on the purchase price of the property, the rent you get, whether or not you got a cash deposit, or whether or not you use the no cash needed method where you borrow all of the money to invest. Let's just use an example of someone buying an $800,000 property and they're going to put in a cash deposit. Now, if you run your numbers and you need to top up your property by $200 a week, $10,000 a year, you've got to consider if house prices go up by 5% in the next 12 months, I've put in $10,000, but I've had increases in value of $40,000 being 5% of $800,000. I'm getting a 4x return on the cash flow that I've put in over the next 12 months. So in that case, I'd say, well, 4-1 return on my money, that's a no-brainer. But the numbers are going to be different for each investor, and you've got to make an educated guess based on what your expectations of growth are going to be over the next 12 months.
Yeah, when you say an educated guess, it's about how fast you think house prices may increase over the next 12 months compared to the cash flow you put in. That's how you weigh it all up. Now, most investors, quite frankly, do this on a bit of a gut feel. I would recommend you actually run the numbers in order to be able to just sense check it. Because if you're just doing it based on gut feel, what sort of decision are you making? It's going to be more of an emotional decision, isn't it? Whereas if you run the numbers like this, you can kind of get a sense of, well, okay, if I am topping up a property by $10,000 of cash flow and it's an $800,000 property, how much would my property have to increase in value to pay me back that $10,000? It's less than 1.5%. And then you say, well, over the next 12 months, do I think that my house is going to increase by more or less than 1.5%? Most people would say more. In that case, you say, well, it is probably worth me purchasing today rather than waiting because I only have to get a very small amount of capital growth in order to pay me back that cash flow. But these are the decisions and the numbers that we all need to run based on what the cash flow is going to be. If you put in a lower cash deposit, you're going to have to top up the property more. You're going to need a higher amount of capital growth to break even. And so run your numbers. Create a spreadsheet. If you need help, talk to a financial advisor. You might like to use our team or somebody else in order to figure that out. Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you have got a topic you'd like us to cover on the show, send me an email, edit@opuspartners.co.nz. It'd be great to hear from you. Listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Steve McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.